Revelations from God and a thorn in the flesh. How do those go together? Let's talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. I am so glad you guys have stayed with us. We're now in chapter 12 and we're going to be in the first 10 verses today, verse 1 through 10, dealing with Paul's revelation and what God gave him called a thorn in the flesh. There's been a lot of speculation of what the thorn in the flesh might be, but let's look into it. It's interesting how Paul continues to feel a need to tell those Corinthians, here's the measure God has given me for you. And apparently, those false apostles that were giving the Corinthians and misleading them and giving Paul such a rough time had talked about their spirituality and the revelations that they had come to. And I've noticed over the years that there are people that like to talk about revelations that bring attention to themselves. But that wasn't the heart of Paul. Paul had gotten these revelations 14 years before, and as far as we know, had not talked about them at all. But at this point, he felt like it was important to let the Corinthians know he too had revelations from God. But he struggled to even talk about it because it seemed to exalt him. So let's look here in verse 1 when he says, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Now he says, I'm going to have to share some things with you because I want you to see that God has given me a measure of spiritual revelations and understanding. And it's really for you to know that because you're apparently, Corinthians, are looking at others that have talked a lot about their revelations. And he says, however, it's not profitable. And so he addresses this as though he's talking to someone or about someone in the third person. I find that interesting. He says in verse 2, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. Now he's talking about himself in third person. He could not bring himself to say, this happened to me. But obviously it did happen to him because he goes back to talking in the first person later on as he started it off. And he says, I know this man in the Christ 14 years ago. He said, I couldn't tell. The experience was, I didn't know whether this man was in the body or out of the body. Can you imagine it being so real? He couldn't tell if it was something he was experiencing right then or if he was caught up out of the body in the spirit. And yet he says, only God knows. So even Paul doesn't know. So I guess we don't know either. And he says, I know of such a man and he was caught up into paradise. He's going to talk about that as the third heaven. The first heaven would be the sky. The second heaven would be the firmament and all the stars. And the third heaven would be the dwelling place of God that he calls paradise. He said, I was caught up in that place called the third heaven and in paradise. And he said, I cannot even express what I saw. It would not be permissible for me to utter these things. It would not be lawful for me, which tells me that there are things that God preserves to himself. There are things in the heavenly realm that's not for this life. The secret things belong to the Lord. Now, I think this is a good principle for all of us to be able to hold things to us that we believe God gives to us without having to blab everything that we know. It's really called a word test. Can you receive a word from the Lord and walk it out faithfully and without being able to just talk it out? It's like Mary who pondered God's word in her heart. She pondered these things in her heart. We need to have some things that God has spoken to us that we hold on to fast. I'm not saying you can't ever share them, but don't be quick to share everything that you get from the Lord in your devotions and your time of prayer. Hold on to them, and he'll give you the time and season to share them. And Paul is saying, what I saw was unlawful for man to even talk about. And so he goes on in verse 5, for such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. He said, this guy that I saw 14 years ago, it's really him. But he said, I'll talk about him, but I can't even talk to you about myself. I don't want to boast about me. But he said, what I will do, I will talk about my infirmities, my weaknesses. He said, though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. He said, even if I were to boast of these things, it would be the truth. And so he said, I'm not really boasting as a fool. I would really be speaking the truth, but I don't want anybody to think more highly of me than they ought to think. And the only reason he's sharing this is to be able to jar the Corinthians away from these false apostles to listen to him. So he says, this is not profitable, but I'm going to go on and talk about visions and revelations. Now, we should not be surprised that God does give visions and revelations. We see it all throughout the scriptures. We see where there were some of the disciples that had visions. You have Ananias who had vision, how Peter had a vision. I mean, you could go on and on of those in the New Testament that had visions. You know, Stephen, when being stoned, says, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. And so we see many times that there were visions and sometimes visitation of angels. But we don't want to become speculative and talk about revelations and visions. Sometimes I've hear people say, I'm just praying that I'll see an angel. And I'm saying, don't do that. Pray that you see God. Angels are ministering spirits of God. And if they show up, they show up for a purpose. But we don't honor or worship angels. We appreciate who they are and honor that they're of God. But not wanting to be sensational, not trying to just see into the spirit realm, to be seeing in the spirit realm, but to want to know God. When you want to know God, you're going to go to the Word and to in prayer. And yes, He'll reveal things to us. And yes, there are visions and revelations, but not for sensationalism. So Paul is saying, I know this man in Christ. He's talking to him as though he's in a third person and not talking about himself. And as he goes through this, he says, the reason that this was given to me is for a purpose. So let's look at this. When he uses the word, I will glory in my infirmities. Now that word infirmities can be translated just as the word infirmity was 17 times. It's translated as weakness 5 times, sickness once, and disease once. So when we get to talking about the infirmity, we don't really know exactly what it's referring to here, but it certainly is a weakness. It certainly is a inability. It's an infirmity. It was used like the woman who had spirits of infirmities when Jesus healed those of their infirmities. And as the scripture says in Matthew 8:17, he bore our infirmities. So that's the same word that's used here where Paul says, I will glory in my weaknesses. I will glory in my infirmities in order that I might glorify God and not get caught up in myself. So in verse 7, he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now listen to what he says. He says, now I'm going to talk to you about this one who's caught up in revelations, even though I can't tell you the things that I saw. But I'm reminded, as I do, that lest I become exalted above measure, because of the abundance of revelations, God assigned a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. Now, I think it's interesting here when we look at the word a thorn in the flesh, that means it had to be something either in his body or something against his person. The flesh can mean the faculties of the human, or it can mean the body itself, the flesh. It was assigned by God through Satan. It's called a messenger. And that's the word that we get our word angel, angelos. It's a messenger, an envoy from Satan that God assigned. Now, I'm sure Satan jumped for joy to be able to bring this against Paul. But what I want you to see, because some Christians don't think this is right theology, but it is, that God didn't allow this. God assigned it. God meant it. Because he wanted to give Paul such great understanding and revelation for the church to keep him from being exalted. Why? Because we live in this fallen world. We live in this body. We're subject. Every one of us is subject to it. He was given a thorn in the flesh. Though we're not told what the thorn in the flesh is, we are told that it was from Satan. God used this messenger from Satan for his purpose. Isn't that interesting? It's kind of like Job. Satan comes up to God and says, and God says, what about my servant Job? God brings up Job. I know there are those who say, well, it would never have happened had Job not been in the fear, because he said, the very thing I feared the most has come upon me, over in Job 3:25. But that's not the origin of that conversation. The origin of that conversation was that God brought it up. I know we don't like this, but when you start getting the providence of God and the sovereignty of God, you like it. Because you are God's son and daughter, and nothing of Satan can touch you except God orchestrates it for his glory. I'm encouraged just talking about it. And that's what this is teaching. You say, well, then why would he pray against it? Well, because you don't know. You don't know everything. God doesn't reveal anything. God might be giving that to you so that you can grow in your faith to get rid of it. By rebuking it, by commanding it, by praying for it, by seeking the Lord. Paul says, I pleaded to the Lord three times. Why three times? I think he would have continued to pray until he heard from the Lord. See, providence is not fatalism. Fatalism says what will be, will be. There is no hope in that. Providence says what will be is what God decrees for his glory and his purpose. So that Joseph could say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's why he says to his brother, God sent me here. And all of those travesties, God sent him there. God uses these events while he's working in Joseph what Joseph needs to be, to become, in order to serve in that place as a deliverer for God's people. God arranged it. Here in this sense, God's doing the same thing. It was a messenger from Satan, but it was assigned by God. Why? In order to keep Paul in a place that he would be able to receive the great revelations that God had for him. And he says, I pleaded, verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. He said, I prayed about this three times. Maybe, he would have gone on further had God not spoken to him. Paul knew how to pray over everything. He said in Philippians 4:6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And he obviously did that. He pleaded with God three times and God spoke to him. He said, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient. This is, rather than, I'm not removing it from you, Paul. I'm depending upon the revelations I'm giving to you, that you would remain humble and walk these things out. So he says in verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Guys, that's what we're talking about, the power of Christ resting upon us, not in our own energy, in our own personality, in our own strength. So when he prayed, God spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. My ability, my favor, I've not left you. Some people think if they're going through a trial, God's left them. No. Yes, pray it. Pray for it. Pray about it. Ask God to remove it. Take your rightful place in authority. I'm not saying that we as Christians don't contend with the enemy, because this was the enemy, right? But God is not going to let the enemy come against me in anything except that he plans it for his purpose. It might be that I would learn to be strong in faith, rebuking the devil and telling the devil to go, or in this sense, asking God to remove it. But there are times God says, I'm going to take you through it. and my grace is sufficient. So Paul says that therefore I'm going to glory, gladly boast in my infirmities. I feel it when I say it. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am made strong. It's because of this verse that I speculate on what the thorn of the flesh is. All the speculation that we may give, we don't know, and God intentionally did not tell us what the thorn of the flesh is. I think we would probably take delight in it and think ourselves to be like Paul if we knew what that particular thorn in the flesh is, because God can do whatever he wants to do, and he's not tied to that particular infirmity, because there'd be some people that gets that infirmity, oh, I must be really exalted like Paul. So God intentionally didn't show us. It could have been a physical infirmity. It could have been. Whatever it was, it had to make him look bad, because that's what it's about. He's talking about them comparing him with the false apostles and them going for the false apostles. And so they would have made fun of him. They would have belittled him if it was a physical infirmity. Look at Paul. He's not anybody great. He's not healthy like these other guys. He's not great like these other guys. It could have been that. It could have also been these false apostles always coming against him. Everywhere he went, the authority that God had given him was maligned and rejected. And sometimes I've actually thought that could have really been the thorn in the flesh, were these false apostles that God allowed, because it was messengers, angelos, apostles are also called messengers, from Satan assigned to him to buffet him, to beat him, lest he become exalted above measure. Every time he turned around, it was as if he could not get a good reputation. Well, we don't know what it was, but obviously Paul said, I will glory in my weaknesses because his grace is sufficient for me, and I would more gladly boast in my infirmities that the power of God might rest upon me, taking pleasure in these infirmities. That's the way to walk through it. Paul had great revelations, and this one he understood, that God's grace was sufficient as he would not stop doing the work that God had called him to do, because God enabled him in the midst of it by his grace. Let's walk this out today in the Word.